Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2020. We are reading from the big book on page 90.
Kathy, I'm sorry I muted you. Kathy, I muted you accidentally. Kathy K.
Okay, now I'm here. Okay.
Yeah, I apologize. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, and I'm sorry about that. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, March 2nd, 2020. We are reading from the big book, and we are on page 94, the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Lorraine N., reading the 12 steps, Sandy D., reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Kathleen O., Dawn B., and Leslie M. The share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, March 1st, the special edition, is 14,195. That's 14195. And the share ID for this morning's Monday, March 2nd, 7 a.m. meeting is 14,196, 14196. Our newcomer greeter today will be Mary B., and our announcements will be given by Robin P., who I haven't heard from, but I assume she's here, hopefully. Okay. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read our 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. Lorraine N. up here in Redmond, Oregon. Here are the steps we took, which I suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Lorraine. And Sandy D., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning. This is Sandy D., recovered by God's grace and mercy one day at a time in Illinois. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Sandy D., for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today, as I said before, we are beginning in the Big Book on page 94, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Kathleen O. to get us started.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is under no pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all to the good. The more hope he feels, the more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. And let's see if I can get my timer going here. So, oh, there's so much in this paragraph, but I'm going to start with the end. The more hopeless he feels, the better. You know, the more emphasis that I can put on the significance of this condition, this problem, that the treatment, the solution is spiritual in nature. You know, people come in with, I've had people come in and say, oh, I have, you know, I have religion. I have God in my life. I've prayed to God. It never helps. And I answer that to, well, you're here. Maybe God directed you here so that you could hear someone give you, you know, their experience and direction, because the direction that we give is the 12 steps. And, you know, for, so belonging to a religious denomination is wonderful, but a person with this disease is not going to be able to keep the food down. They need to hear that this is a program of action. And, you know, first we put the food down and then we do the steps. We connect with the power and keeping that power. And then it's a, you know, being of maximum service to the people around me. And, you know, it's about kindness and compassion. My job is to share my experience, strength, and hope, to show this person who is suffering what it was like for me in the food and what happened and what it's like now. And I remember hearing in the rooms when I first came in that people would say, you can't keep it if you don't give it away. And I didn't really like hearing that. I just wanted the miracle diet that was going to let me eat and magically lose weight, which was delusional. I came in very delusional, but I also came in desperate. So I did finally take the cotton out of my ears and start listening. So it really helped when people told me about this, the 12 steps. You know, they gave me instructions on how to work this program and live these principles. And when I began to sponsor, I did have sponsees who, I don't know, that maybe they just weren't desperate enough. I would work with them and, you know, sometimes, like this paragraph says, you know, they leave. And but the bottom line was that was okay. You know, I learned not to take it personally. And even though I was sad that they didn't embrace this gift that was put right in front of them, you know, they weren't ready. If you're not ready, you're not ready. But I realized in the end, it helped me in my recovery because it kept me present in what I was doing. So, you know, addiction kills. And I can explain my hopelessness and my desperation and give hope to other people. The 12 steps, it keeps me in recovery. My life depends on me passing this on, giving it away to someone at the hopeless stage. And you know, this is like my lifeline. It's my lifeline to give it away, and it's the lifeline to the person that I'm giving it to. And I just hope that they grab onto it. So our message is hope, and that there can be sanity around the food, and we become happy and whole. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Kathleen O. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share one at a time, if possible.
Irene B.
I'm sorry, who was that? Say it again.
Stacy J.
Nancy L. from Georgia.
Okay, Stacy J. and was it Nancy L.?
Yes.
Okay, great. And who else? I'll take two more names.
Audrey M.P. from L.A.
Okay, Audrey M.P. And perhaps one more.
Marilyn T.
Marilyn T. Okay, great. Let's start with you all. Got Irene B., Stacy J., Nancy L., Audrey M.P., and Marilyn T. Please go ahead, Irene B.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I cannot understand how you guys can hear the people. It just astonishes me daily. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Louisiana. I am very humbled and scared to get on the line and share this morning because of my own experience. I was a compulsive overeater for 12 years, and I became bulimic and stayed bulimic for 40. During this period, there were many people who helped me, and there was no way I could become abstinent, absolutely no way. I was so far gone. My problems were so severe. There is no way. If my life depended on it, I couldn't become abstinent, yet there were so many people who worked with me until I gave up. You know, I don't believe anybody ever fired me, but I gave up. And I didn't come into OA until 2017, August of 2017, because I thought that OA was not for bulimics. And if those people had not nurtured me and taught me, even though I was so bulimic and so disconnected from self in a way that is just unfathomable, I wouldn't be here today. And I respect that. I love what I heard this morning. If my sponsee keeps speaking up, then I need to say, maybe I'm not the voice you need to hear. Maybe you need to work with somebody else. I think that's very loving, because you're not saying I'm firing you, or you're not saying it's not working, go work with somebody else, I'm done with you. Basically, I don't care how you put it, you're still saying that. So for me, in my opinion, if somebody is willing to do the work but absolutely cannot put down the food, I'm going to help that person. Because if they want to do the work, you know, maybe they won't get 100% of the benefit because they don't have a clear brain. But maybe they'll get 10% of the benefit. And if they do that 10 times, eventually they're going to get it. Eventually, it's going to sink in. Eventually, they're going to be able to get abstinent so they can really dig in and really begin the work at that point. So I'm just saying that we need to be loving and kind to each other. We need to work hard. I mean, we just have to work so hard and do the work. And we have to be abstinent if we want to get the full benefit of the work. We have to. You know, half measures avail us nothing. Well, you know, all I can speak is from my experience. If people gave up on me, I would have never in my entire life ever being able to obtain abstinence, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Irene. Thank you very much. Stacy J., please share with us.
Thanks very much for your service. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto, Canada. This is such a great paragraph, and what stands out to me today when I read this is I have it underlined that it's important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. And actually, he may be helping you more than you're helping him. I feel that there is a sense here of that we're not dependent on our sponsors. Like, we don't owe them anything. We're helping them. And my first time in OA, I had a sponsor for 5 years, and that sponsor, it was a kind of, if I look at it now, it was a codependent relationship. I asked her about everything in my life, sort of this mix of therapist, sponsor, and ruler of my life. And when that ended, I was devastated, and I stayed out of OA for a long time, and that's not her fault. That is a dependency that I cultivated, and I acted out of that. And I mean, I thought it helped me at the time, but it actually kind of took away my own sense of agency and my primary relationship in this program is with my higher power. And this paragraph for me emphasizes that my sponsor is helping me and I'm helping my sponsees, and I as a sponsor need to always remember that they're helping me. And so any feeling like, oh, my sponsees owe me, or I'm the ruler of their lives, or my sponsor's the ruler of my life, and you know, these things are not what this book is calling for. And I'm so grateful that it says that, you know. Sure, the sponsee needs to feel hopeless about food, but they'll get there on their own. The food will do that for them. And a conversation which, as this paragraph says, is, you know, quiet and kind of humble, sane, quiet, and full of human understanding. Well, if a potential sponsee is already there in terms of hopelessness and powerlessness and that feeling that they're beaten, then a sane, quiet conversation will help them to feel safe to maybe take the step to do the work of these steps. So I'm just grateful for the health and sanity of this paragraph and this way that we're encouraged to work with the sick and suffering and how we help ourselves by remaining humble. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Stacey J. Nancy L., please share with us.
Good morning, and I thank you for your service this morning. I'm Nancy L. From Georgia. I am recovering, a food addict is what I call myself. This is the first time I've ever shared on this line. I want to thank Chuck for telling me about this program, and I don't feel like I can really talk to any points in this about a sponsoree because I've not been successful in being a sponsor because I haven't been successful in solving my own problems until about a year ago. I've been in an OA program for 6 years. And I could not get any abstinence. I could go 30 days or I could go 60 days, and then I would go on one of my binges. And while I was on my binge, I was praying to God, and I was not feeling like my prayers were getting any higher than the ceiling. I was one of those people that came to OA thinking, oh, the God thing. Oh, I've got that. But I didn't have that. I didn't have that until this disease took me down almost to the point of death, with collapsed lung and days in the hospital. And I fell on my face and said, God, I'm going to die if you don't help me. So I do have some clean eating behind me now. I have a year of clean eating with God's help, but I haven't felt that I had much to give to somebody else to be a sponsor. So I thank you for the big book reading, and thank you for your service. And I will try to continue to. I will continue to connect with you folks and be a part of this big book study. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Nancy L. Please keep coming back. Thanks. Audrey MP, would you like to share? Press star 1, Audrey, to unmute.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your patience. And thank you for your service and to the readers and all the people to make this meeting happen. It's really a miracle. I call it like the underground, how we all like call in and share and listen and of service. I mean, there's so much in this paragraph, and I appreciate everyone's share. It's like, oh, I can relate to everything so far. I'm a recovered bulimic, and I'm in recovery. with my food, and it's baffling. The baffling word is not in this paragraph, but I'm going through the steps with the sponsor. I'm so grateful to her service to me. I've learned so much. I've been recovered from bulimia for 26 years. But, you know, stop the behavior and all the feelings come up. And now if I'm abstinent, a bunch of other feelings come up. And I need to stay close. And I think last week and the week before we were talking about evangelism, that word is so stuck out in my mind. I've been reading this book for a long time and I've never really heard it that way. But I know when I had one foot in and one foot out, I would call people about my food and they would tell me. And I remember this one woman said, well, I'd love to hear from you tomorrow. She wasn't my sponsor, but she'd say, I know when people are in the food, they don't call me. So I love when you call me because I know you're abstinent. And that really left a stronghold in my head. And I needed to get my own sponsor. And so in this paragraph in relating to others, I had a sponsee and we did a step one together in another OA lifetime. And I see her now, and I see her out. I see her socially. I see her eating and drinking, and I see her body has, she's just gained weight. And you know, she asked me how I'm doing, and I tell her I'm working the steps, blah, blah, blah. But last week, Sunday, I saw her at a social event where there was a goal-setting, motivational speaker, and she saw through the whole thing. She's like, I don't know what I need, and I'm sitting across the room with this paragraph in mind just thinking, God, just get abstinent. Just have the courage to get abstinent, and I can't make her. I can only be an example, and I love her dearly, and I'm watching this really painful thing happening, And I can only be grateful for my recovery today. Maybe I have disturbed him about the question of his overeating. And the more hopeless he feels, the better. And she may or may not come back to me for recovery. And I think there's something in here, like, once you let them know, then let them go. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that the only hope that he will try to help other overeaters when, you know, she escapes her own difficulties. And, you know, with that, I pass. I love, 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 big, you know, two hands, heart, this program, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Audrey MP. Marilyn T., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. This is Marilyn T. from California, grateful, recovering compulsive overeater. I am so thankful. This is a great paragraph. What I've honed in on is if your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Because I'm not a therapist, I'm only a guide. And that's the beauty of this. This is what this program gives to me. I put down the food, I work these steps, and then I pass it on to someone else. Patience, love, and tolerance is our code. I have to let go of the results. And this is also what I get from this. I have to let go of the results. I have to love the person where they're at and not be so invested that they recover, that they want it more for them. They have to want it for themselves more than I want it for them. This is what I'm learning in this chapter, working with others. This is what I want to pass on. Just a guide to a higher power. I share where I've been, and it's my experiences that, my personal experiences that can help someone else. I'm uniquely suited to help someone in this avenue. So I'm so excited. I'm almost done with the 12 steps again, and it just has taken on such a new meaning and understanding for me. it has just really very much affected me. I love my sponsor. I love being on the meetings with you guys. I just can't wait. Anyway, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Okay, I'd love to take some more names of people who would like to share today.
Ginger C.
Ginger
Leia S.
C. Leia S.
Allie.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Lorraine.
Joanne.
Catherine M.
Okay, I heard Lorraine somebody. Catherine M. Who was it?
Joanne.
And Joanne.
Joanne.
Okay. So, Lorraine, did I hear you correctly?
Yes.
What's your last initial? Lorraine,
what's your last initial? N, as in Nancy.
Okay. Catherine M. And Joanne, what is your last initial?
B.
B. Okay, great. Thank you very much. We may have time for more after this group. We'll see how it goes. Ginger C., please share with us.
Hi, Kathy. Good morning, and thank you for your service. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this paragraph, you know, this protege that we're working with plays a vital part in our own recovery. And why is that? You know, and Bill tells us, back on 14, for if an alcoholic fails to not only perfect but enlarge his spiritual life, and how do we do that? We do that through work and self-sacrifice for others. And so, yeah, absolutely vital. And I'll never forget when my sponsor would say, you're helping me more than I'm helping you. And I'd be like, really? I don't quite understand that picture. And then guess what? You start working with others and you absolutely see how they save the day, how they help you in these terrific, great ways. And most importantly, it keeps you moving. How can you be giving it to them if you're not doing it? You know, it keeps you accountable to what this practice is, this imperfect moving our muscles a day at a time, because that's what it is. It's just a daily reprieve, wash, rinse, repeat. So I can't keep it away, you know, or I can't keep it if I don't give it away. And again, he may be helping you more than you're helping him. And I will never forget this story. And thank God for these stories. Thank God for Harlan sharing his story yesterday. Wasn't that riveting? I had a sponsee I was working with last night, and she just couldn't believe what he was sharing in the message and what he had been through because of being overweight in this society that's not very kind and loving. But, you know, these stories give identification, and we all need to be sharing them because all of our stories are different. Mine is not yours. Yours is not mine. And I don't know how my story is going to affect another where yours may save that person. So speak up. Share your stories. It's about identification. The newcomer in AA, man, we love speaker meetings because that's all we can really hear. The rest of it, it's sort of like wah, 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 that Charlie Brown channel. But a story, I can hear that. I understand that. I just am getting out of that. But this lady, I was working with this person, and I had a lot of sponsees because I was sick at the beginning. I did way too much work in this 12-step. Didn't realize one alcoholic to another was enough. And I think I had 7 sponsees. And this person at this point in time, that very same day, an hour before, my son was taken out of my house in handcuffs. He was falling out in drugs, and he needed a 72-hour hold. And it was one of the hardest moments that I have ever, ever experienced. And I was only 6 months out of the food. And I shared the story with her because I wanted her to know that through all the experience with the cops and that what I just walked, not once did I think about eating. Not once. And then do you know what she says back to me? She says, Ginger, you had a son. You have a son. I had a daughter. But my daughter had the exact same experience of what you just shared with me. And I just want you to know she is sober. She is clean today. And she's going to be a police officer. Who is saving who? And do you think the other 6 sponsees would have given me that same message at that same moment? I don't think so. And I got hope in a way that I cannot even tell you I needed hope. Because I needed to stay strong for that boy and not eat and be present and awake and walk this path that God was leading us into. So, yes, nothing saves a day like working with another. And most importantly, for those minutes that I'm finally sharing with another and working with another, thank God I stopped thinking about Ginger. man, do I think about me a lot. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Ginger C. Leah S., please share with us.
Thank you very much, Kathy, for your service and everyone else at this meeting. My name is Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn, and very grateful. So I, me too, I want to share on how when other sponsees, new sponsees come in, I love to hear about them and what they want to do and how I had been, and I have to go into that space where they're at and identify with them and explain to them how this hope of recovering, not knowing how it's going to happen, but this hope became such a big spark that it is constantly burning and burning and burning until it becomes like a fire in me. And I don't know how things will work out, but this psychic change and the honesty about this program is just going to get me there somewhere. And one thing is for sure, it's not going to be about the food. It's not going to be, but it needs to be consistent, and it needs to be spread by to others and by me and by others, because then I can hear back and I can identify and I can even spark it more and more. And then I see it. And then what used to never enter my mind in spirituality all of a sudden becomes second nature. And it doesn't come just like that, just by spreading it and by continuously having this consistency. That is how that happens. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks so much, Leah S. Lorraine N., please share with us.
Good morning. My sponsor has encouraged me to speak on the line once a week, so I'm attempting to do that. But what I mean, this program is amazing, and it all started with one alcoholic sharing their experience, strength, and hope with another, in our case, one compulsive overeater. And so there's no way I could do this alone. I mean, I tried that for 40-something years, you know, trying everything that we've all tried. And, you know, I ended up over 200 pounds at one point. And so all that money and time wasted. And I revolved in and out of OA like a revolving door, and never really found recovery like I have on this phone line, Visions for You. It is just phenomenal to me. So, but I do want to say that I had a sponsor that I was just really, really loving and doing well with. And, you know, for personal reasons, that sponsor had to drop me overnight. So it was devastating and it was shocking because I didn't see it coming. And instead of reaching out immediately, I floundered around for a couple of months. I was trying to connect with a sponsor, never seemed to do it. You know, I lost my abstinence. I had a couple of weeks here and there, and then I'd lose it. And finally, I connected with a new sponsor and that I'm working with, and I'm going through the steps all over again because I was actually working with someone, and I had to tell her what happened. And so she has found a vision sponsor, thank God. So don't do that. If people are humans, things happen. And, you know, and there's what I found is, or what I learned is that I now have a God squad, I call it. And I have a lot of people I can call. And so if that ever happens again, I will never be sponsor dependent, even though I need my sponsor and I, you know, have to have that. I also need other people. I need a list of people. It doesn't have to be long, but a list of people I know will pick up that phone if I'm in trouble. So, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Lorraine. And Catherine M., please share with us.
Hi, this is Catherine M., recovered compulsive overeater in Lawrence, Kansas. And I love this paragraph. I have been working with my first two sponsees, and the greatest gift that I have gotten is the ability to look at other people with love and with compassion. Because before recovery, my greatest fear in my disease was to be overweight, to be looked down upon, and to be in that disease. And so for me, that came out as exercise bulimia and regular bulimia. In my meditation this morning, it was just such a gift because the author of the Channel of Peace prayer, I was reading about how he used to look at lepers because of his vanity. He used to look at lepers with like such disdain and would actually hold his nostrils at a distance 2 miles away. And then after he came to know his higher power and wrote this prayer that we now know in the AA 12 and 12, he met a leper one day and kissed him. And that is the greatest gift that I have received from this, is to be able to look at people as sick and not less than, and to be able to see where Catherine is in, where myself is in a relationship, and not my higher power, and where I can look at someone with love and with understanding and compassion, when before I would just look at them with disdain and fear. And that's the greatest gift of working with others. And one of my sponsees relapsed last night, and for some reason I just had no fear, because I knew that my recovery is the most important thing, and all I can do is walk with her and continue to guide her in these 12 steps. So thank you for letting me share. That was just a gift that I had this morning doing the 10 steps. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Catherine M. Joanne B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered compulsive overeater in Texas, and very grateful. One of the things that came to my mind when we read how you explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, it brought to mind something that Harlan said yesterday, to encourage those who become afraid at the very beginning of their working with others, or talking on the line, or all of those feelings I know that I've had, and also where I would think, what do I have to offer, or how can I talk so well? And it was that idea that how, when I look at sentences like this, you know, how did I straighten out my past? You know, I can ask myself, how did how I made my self-appraisal and what that journey looked like. Maybe putting it in words, I have a hard time doing that, writing it down, but doing that, and even if it's bullet points, and that's helped me a lot, learning that little skill. And also, you know, just there was something else, the beauty that we, at least my experience, is I have learned more as I worked with others, and it's kind of funny, I guess, as I've learned to, I learn a lot about myself, and I just feel very blessed to be able to work with someone, guiding them and learning that it's not about me, but then being being blessed with my own eye-opening experiences, I suppose. Anyway, thank you so much for all that you all do. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Joanne B. We have time for one more share. Who would like to share?
Allie V.
Please go ahead, Allie.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for leading this meeting today. And I just wanted to share on this paragraph. I think it's really pertinent to where I'm at right now in program. I had my first sponsee, got her in late November last year, and she kind of fell off the face of the earth right now. We're in different states, so I'm sponsoring her over, you know, FaceTime and video chat and things like that, texting. Got through step five, and I haven't heard from her. And, you know, first sponsee, my sponsor, you know, was guiding me through, and I'm so grateful for that. And I knew not to take it personally, you know, coming into it. You know, I was reading this chapter in the big book, and, you know, just, you know, but even when you know things, you know, you can't help but feel like, well, is there something that I did wrong, you know? And I know that's just my, you know, my fears coming up. And so, you know, I've had to deal with that. But it did help me, you know, sponsoring someone else. It did help me in my recovery and, you know, making sure that I'm, you know, working my steps to the best of my ability each day. And, you know, this, you know, I don't know where I was going with that. But anyways, I just wanted to share and just say how grateful I am to be on the line. And, you know, as a graduate student right now, it's really hard to get to face-to-face meetings, you know, each week with a busy schedule. But that's why I'm so grateful for these phone meetings, because I can be anywhere, you know, in between classes or, you know, going to work or whatever, getting ready for the day. And I can be on a meeting and just listening to everyone's wonderful experiences and just still, you know, getting that, you know, interaction and getting my meetings in each week. So I'm so grateful, and thank you all for listening, and that I'll pass.
Thanks very much, Allie V. Okay, if there's someone who has a short one-minute share, we could take that. Anybody want to share?
Sherry KB.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you so much for your service, Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive, a reader. For me, I know that I outlined the program of action to the person that I'm hopefully going to take through this work. I let them know how I sponsor somebody, so they know exactly why I need to work with other people, because I can't rest on my laurels, and that how I straighten out my past was going through the step work. And then immediately, once I got through page 103, started taking people through the doctor's opinion and then taking them through the big book. And it is important how important my staying recovered relies on working with others. And thank God for God, and I'll pass. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service.
Thanks so much, Sherry. That's a great way to end. And thank you all for such a rich meeting today. I want to especially thank Lorraine N., Sandy D., Kathleen O., Dawn B., and Leslie M. We will now close first with Dawn B. reading A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Dawn?
Good morning. This is Dawn B. from Southern California, recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. And we shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you very much.